anything else to say on that?
Hi, I'm Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jennifer.
And I see that I no longer need to bring my own visual aids. I'm so proud of you guys. This is great. Yeah, they're nice, aren't they? I can keep the posters for my women's rights marches because you folks don't know. I'm the only woman in the room right now. But that's okay. Because the message is the message and doesn't really matter. Hi, my name is Jennifer. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 4th, 1991. My home group is God Calling. It's an 11-step prayer and meditation meeting, which right now is temporarily closed due to the COVID virus. We have some members who are vulnerable, and it's a small room. We thought it would be wise to give it a month and see if things, get a little better. We left off. Oh, I do want to say I'm not a step expert. I'm just invited here to share my experience with the steps and what I've been taught in the last 30-some years. We left off with the promises. We started, the last line in the promises involves the word work. So now we're going to do some more work. We got started back then making amends for the past harms done. And this week we're going to continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And it tells us in the big book that we have now entered the world of the Spirit. So, that's where we've been heading for. We begin to have a spiritual experience. This is the first of the growth steps. Now, I've heard people call steps 10, 11, and 12 maintenance steps. So you know me. I went to the dictionary, looked up maintain, and it says to keep in an existing state or to stay the same. But on page 44 in the big book, it says our next function, and this is in step 10, is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So I always think of the story of the car salesman in More About Alcoholism. And, I've read it a number of times and always tried to figure out what the heck happened to this guy. This is the one that mixes milk and whiskey. You remember that dude? Yeah, like, what happened to his program? Where'd it go wrong? And all went well for a time, it says. Like, he did okay for a while, but he failed to enlarge his spiritual life. And that's why these are growth steps. We need to continue to grow and enlarge our spiritual lives, which is a great thing. Step 10 is one of my favorite steps. I use it a lot. I have things come up every day. I had something come up today, and I needed to use this step. I use it whenever I need it. I use it more frequently probably than other steps. And as we go on, you'll understand why. It's a daily walking around step. That's what Joe and Charlie say about it. This is a daily walking around step. It is not a nightly inventory step. Although a lot of people think that it is. We're going to go by the big book. The 12 and 12 actually contradicts that and talks about a nightly inventory. That is in step 11, if we're following the big book, which I am, as we talk about these. This is a walking around daily walking around step when I get in trouble during the day instead of garnering a resentment and ruining my whole afternoon or morning or week. This step gives me an opportunity to shed that. The instructions in the big book are as clear-cut as for any other step. They're really excellent, and we're going to go over those. For me, this is one of the best tools in my spiritual toolkit. I use, often. And I can only speak for myself, but it really has never failed to work if I followed the instructions. And the instructions in the big book on page 44 are really clear. We continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. But we've heard that before in step 4. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Heard that before, steps 6 and 7. We discuss them with someone immediately. Usually our sponsor, if we can. I try to get a hold of my sponsor when I have an issue. Sometimes I can't. That's why I have a co-sponsor. One of them's usually around. If not, you know, bother one of you. That's step 5. Make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Steps 8 and 9. Then we turn our thoughts towards someone we can help. Step 12. And it has never failed when I have done this step that it has been followed by an opportunity to help someone if I do the first 4 parts of it. The phone will ring. I will be going to a meeting. The opportunity to go to a meeting will come up. Somebody will ask for my help. I will have an opportunity to help someone. That's step 12. Now, we didn't finish step 9. You know, we don't need to finish step 9. That's a lifelong step. We talked about that last week. We can start right on this step, you know, even though we're still working on our step 9. There's a couple things I wanted to bring up about this. Kind of a red flag on this step. Once in a while, here and there, my response to a situation, a character defect that is out of proportion to the situation, will arise. And I talked about this, you know, early on when we were talking about the steps. I talked about the terror reaction that I had when my teenager went out for the first time into the night, and I didn't know where. He didn't have a car, he couldn't really go too far, I didn't think. But I wasn't just worried, I was terrified. That reaction was out of proportion to the situation. And that required more than just step 10. That required more work on my part. Something was undone. Something hadn't been found out in my 4th step or 5th step. It hadn't been revealed. You know, I did a lot of work on this because I needed to. You know, that feeling was horrible, and it was, you know, it was terrible. My husband drove him crazy. And it was an old feeling. Sometimes old feelings come up. You know, this step, step 10, is really for making right new mistakes. But this was old. So I had to do some writing. I had to work with my sponsor. It actually took some time. I had to track back. This terror actually started when I was about 3 years old. And with my father going out in the night, not coming home, not knowing where he was, feeling like a little powerless person standing at the window, I had to heal that before I could deal with the situations in my life in the here and the now. And even though I still worry, we talked about me being Sicilian, and that's just, you know, I work on that a lot. Even though I still worry, it's proportional to the situation, much more so than it used to be. Sometimes people actually, you know, need therapy. I'm blessed because my sponsor is actually a therapist also. It's really nice, you know. Saves so much money that way. Just, you know, a real 2-for-1er there. She was really helpful, and we got through that. But, you know, if you find yourself in the significant other in your house, you know, burns the Thanksgiving turkey and, you know, you throw an ashtray through a window, you might want to say, that's a little out of proportion to the situation. And probably you need, you know, to investigate where that rage is coming from. or like my situation. The fear was just exaggerated, you know, for the situation, and it was dangerous. And it turned out to be a really good thing that I realized it and that I had a guide and good counsel to work through it, and the willingness to do that, because 2 years after the kid first, you know, started leaving the house at night and going wherever it is he went, he went to Eastern Europe on a trip. And I would have been, I don't know. I don't know if we have a step for that. So I really had to deal with my issue in order to be a healthy parent, you know, and a healthy wife. Like I said, my husband was like, yikes, you're scary. As we start practicing this step, we realize that there are rewards to step 10, just like there were promises in step 9. There's rewards at every step, like, you know. But the beautiful thing about this, you know, when I was looking at how many steps are involved in step 10, is this really illustrates to me so clearly that these 12 steps are a design for living that work in rough going. They work in good going too. They just work. But they are a design for living. I, you know, any situation that I find myself in that I'm perplexed in, that I don't know what to do, that I'm having trouble in, or character defects are coming up, there's a step for it. I just need to find it and use it. And so living these steps has, you know, has become, you know, my way. At this step, we cease fighting anything or anybody, even alcohol. They tell us that sanity will have returned. This is a step where sanity is returned. We ask for that in step 2, but this is really where it starts to, we start to be people again. We will seldom be interested in liquor. We will react sanely and normally, and we'll find this has happened automatically. It says here that in the big book that the problem has been removed. That is my experience. I don't think about liquor. I don't think about drinking. Maybe I've had a thought of it here and there once in a while. I can't remember the last time. I have never thought of it as a solution for anything. Really since I got here, to be honest with you, because for me, when I got here, it had already stopped working. Didn't solve anything. The problem has been removed. In We Agnostics, it tells us that the main object of the big book, this book, is to find a power greater than ourselves that can solve our problem. This is the problem, and the problem has been removed. We have become God conscious. We've begun to develop that vital sixth sense. This is where it starts to kick in. That sixth sense is in step 10. It really is true. It really is an amazing thing. People that we sponsor, if we've been around a little while, often wonder how we know things that we should not know. We just do. Also, we have incredible number of sources. And that's one of the things that I tell the girls, you know, you can tell me or someone else will tell me, but I will eventually know. All this happens as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. That's, you know, it also says in the big book, you know, that this is a vision we have to carry into every day of our lives. You know, this isn't a one and in thing. I'm going to end with the 10th step prayer that is in this little prayer book that we've been using, that we've kind of all fallen in love with. I know I did, and that's why I have it, and they don't have it at the step meeting. But we'll get it back to them, because we've got a good plan now, right, Bruce? The 10th step prayer says, God, remove the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear that has cropped up in my life now. Help me to discuss this with someone immediately and make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. Help me to cease fighting anything and anyone. Show me where I may be helpful to someone else. Help me to react sanely, not cocky or afraid. How can I best serve you? Your will, not mine, be done. Amen.
Thanks, Jennifer. So now I have some time for questions and answers with our speaker. So anybody here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll get you the microphone. If you're on Zoom, just speak up when you get a chance.
Hi, Jim, alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Thank you, Jennifer. You know, your example of using step 10 with your teenager, going out, you know, just going out kind of for the first time to do his thing, and your amount of worry and fear, I would not have put that in the category of step 10. About the personal inventory part. Can you maybe clear? I'm kind of getting it together as you kept talking, because that was pretty much what you talked about tonight. And I kind of have my thoughts on it, like, but I want to hear your thoughts on how that falls into a personal inventory category.
It's a fear, and fear is a character defect.
Okay, because I guess I'm thinking I'm tying this into, you know, tied Bruce's shoelaces together when he wasn't looking, and you know, and he tripped and fell, and I need to, you know, I feel bad about that, and I should probably go tell him that it was me and that I'm sorry right away. That's kind of the kind of stuff I think I kind of tend to look at. Mm-hmm. at step 10. But so I guess this is a really kind of an awakening kind of thing for me to be able to departmentalize different things into this.
Well, my example of the terror that I felt was not step 10 was not a good use for that. I needed to go back to step 4. That was an old feeling, you know, an old character defect that had developed, you know, way, way, way earlier in my life, and I had to do the work on that because it was out of proportion to the situation. I mean, I still worry about him, you know, sometimes. We all do, but no, I still worry about him sometimes, but not nearly as much, I'll tell you that.
It does make sense now.
It's not, that was out of proportion. But if a fear comes up, a fear that is proportional to a situation, like when he did go to Europe. I had some fears when he was flying over the Atlantic Ocean for 8 hours. I said a few prayers, you know. I did ask God to remove it. I did talk to my sponsor, like, you know, I'm really, you know, nervous for him. I'm afraid, you know, that he's going to be in strange cities, doesn't know the language, you know, he's with this group of people he knows, kind of. But I learned a lot about letting go, too, during that. But I had done the work between that first terror, you know, that terror. And literally, it was terror. It was something I really had to, unravel. It was early, early trauma. Some of us have that. A lot of us have that, actually. And, you know, if you didn't get it in the fourth step, you know, it'll show up again. And you'll get another chance. So the good news is we get another chance.
Yeah. Sure. Who else would like to ask a question?
Thanks, Jennifer. The question I have, when I finally admitted I was an alcoholic, the steps were told, you know, they were in order for a reason, blah, blah, blah. And I understand that. But I found myself, as the spaghetti cleared in my head, I was, you know, still a jackass, and promptly would turn around and walk back and say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that way or something like that. I didn't. But I didn't take step 10 yet, that I had ways to go. Mm-hmm. Is there any harm in that? Because I used it to, instead of clearing the wreckage of my past, the one that just instantly, when I was wrong, promptly admitted it.
I don't think so, as long as you got to step 10 eventually, yeah. Because that's really only a part of it.
But it was helpful for this alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you didn't stack up a whole lot more, yeah, resentments and let your character defect. What I've noticed is if I let one character defect start running and I don't do this step, I don't recognize it, or I decide just to let it, you know, I think I'll be angry today, you know, because she did this to me and I feel about it. It's like a Pandora's box. Pretty soon we're opening a whole, you know, a whole lot more of those character defects are going to come rushing out, and it's going to be a lot, you know, I'm going to lose another day. And, you know, I lost a lot of days when I was drinking. I don't want to lose any more days now that I am. I don't want to do that. No.
Who else has a question?
Hi.
Hi, Jim.
I think two questions. When you get sober and you're dealing with people every day, you're always going to run into somebody whose views or whatever are going to be polar opposite of what you are. Just because they are wrong, do we still take the inventory and say, or do we just walk away and say, they are wrong, that's not what I believe, or that's not how I see it? Do we just walk away? And if we do, you have written on there, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it, to who? Even though they're wrong.
If they're wrong, and we haven't done anything to injure them in any way, haven't gotten angry at them, haven't gotten angry at all, because I can get angry and not projected upon anybody. It's still a character defect coming up. But if we have not taken, if a character defect has not come up, and we've just met somebody who completely disagrees with us on whatever, we didn't insult them, we didn't get angry, we, you know, didn't get frightened of them, we can just walk away. If, however, I get that attitude like, this is an idiot, and they don't know the truth, and, you know, because I can go there. Then I have to look at me and say, okay, you know, this person is misled, misguided, you know. And, yeah, I will do a 10th step and say, okay, you know.
But isn't it true, though, no matter what you do in life, and it's what you tell people you sponsor, you're always going to run into some kind of conflict.
Yeah.
We don't walk around saying, la, 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 everything's beautiful. You know, we're sober, we're flying around on our cloud. We deal with people every single day.
Right.
And so we have to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to learn how to handle these situations that used to baffle us. And so walking away is one way to do that. Are there any other ways that you can...
I had a situation early in sobriety where I was working, I talked about this I think already a while back. I was working at Stairway Center for Art and Culture, and one of my coworkers, there were only three of us, I don't know what she did, but it was just off the chain. And I was really angry because we had, you know, planned an activity, and, you know, it just was not a good thing. And I was angry. In that situation, it was proportional to the situation, and I didn't feel uncomfortable saying, you know, Karen, that really made me angry. I feel really angry about that. I think that we need to, you know, talk about this and maybe come to a compromise. So that's another way, conflict resolution, I guess you can call it. We do need to be able to talk to people we disagree with. You know, we're married, some of us. I mean, we really have to be able to resolve conflict without injuring people. But, you know, I tell the women that I sponsor, you have a right and a responsibility to share your feelings. Does that help?
Yeah, my sponsor used to tell me, Jim, he'd say, you know, just because you're right, you don't have to tell everybody, you know, and you know, go to your sponsor, and like if you're having something that's, you know, you're right, they're wrong, the situation's intolerable, and I've sponsored a lot of people over the years, especially working with other people, where they, oh my God, I hate to go in because he's going to be there, or I'm, you know, mm-hmm. and so avoidance and all that stuff. But, you know, just because I'm right doesn't mean I have to go and get in. I don't have to assert
Correct.
My ideals onto them. I can be assertive, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't have to force anything on anybody else. And I think, for me anyways, I think is important is that we are people who have to deal with people every day, right. no matter what.
Right.
And it's so important to learn how to deal with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't know, when I was drinking, it was punch or kick or whoever yelled the loudest won. You know, and it was all ego.
Yeah.
So I think it's important for young people to know, you know, that there are new, we handle things differently now,
right.
you know, and sometimes we walk away, sometimes we go to our sponsor, sometimes we take this inventory, you know, and I think that's very, very important, because, you know, I don't, it can escalate. We're very good at, we are the people who take the smallest little thing and make it the biggest thing. And we take the biggest thing and we make it the smallest thing. So we have to kind of figure that out. So
I'm laughing because I remember Jim Nelson saying, we're people who, our house can burn down, we can crash our car and lose our job, but we can open a drawer and not find two socks that match and absolutely lose our minds.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, Eric Alcoholic.
Hi, Eric.
First, I wanted to say thank God Liam Neeson didn't come out with Taken yet when Ian went over to Eastern Europe, but that's a different... He would have been a real wreck at that point. But now, just to piggyback off Jim, let's say you make a decision that's mutually beneficial for both parties involved, but that decision is based on something that might benefit you a bit more, and you do it for like a self... promoting selfish reason, but it's still like, yeah, it benefits them a bit, but you a bit more. How would
That's
you handle
a really interesting question.
how would you deal with something like that?
Wow, I almost want to say, could you be more specific, because I know that you have the details to that question. Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, the Step 10 says, you know, we continue to watch for selfishness, fear, dishonesty. So, yeah, selfish. Check my motives. It really is all about motives, you know, when we're dealing with other people, you know. What would love do now? You know. Oh, yeah, and we're good at that. Yeah, it's a great rationalizer.
Is there anybody on Zoom that has a question?
I can't see anybody, so I don't know.
They might be able to just speak up.
Raising their hands or anything.
Yeah.
Just one more thing, quick. Part of Jim's question that got my attention, and I don't think it got answered unless I missed it.
Probably not. Because it's Jim.
When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. To who?
To myself.
To ourselves.
Yeah.
That's it. I guess unless you need to talk to your sponsor something.
Unless I need to make an amend, and then I promptly admit it to the person that I injured, or if I talk to my sponsor, yeah, I call my sponsor and say, I'm really angry, and but I don't want to carry this around. You know, this person said this, and
I need to hear all of that, because if all I hear, if all I hear is that I only have to admit it to myself,
that's what you do. Yeah, no. When I call, if I get a hold of my sponsor, if I'm lucky enough to, or my co-sponsor, you know, I will say, I'm angry, or I'm fearful, or I really want to do this really selfish thing, and I know it's not the right thing. Tell, you know, let's talk this through, and she will talk me through it, and usually I will come out on the other side. The amazing thing about this step, if you practice it on a regular basis, and a lot of you do, is that 20 minutes after you begin this process of these five steps in step 10, you won't feel that anymore. I don't, the anger will, or fear or selfishness, whatever was character defect was driving me to like want to make a decision that wasn't going to be good for me or hurtful to somebody else, if I take it through this step thoroughly, it's gone.
Your answer was, I was right in line with your answer anyways, but the point is that I'm still sick.
You're the only one. We're all working well.
That gets me off that hook.
you need to do the whole...
I'm not off the hook.
Yeah, no. But we all have, you have a good sponsor, you can...
Who else has a question for Jennifer?
Well, then we have time.
Yeah, you got plenty of time, so.
Oh, yes, we do.
What's the difference between ambition and selfishness?
You know, Jim Nelson once asked me, what's the difference between anxiety and fear? Yeah. Ambition and selfishness. What's driving it? You know, what's driving the ambition?
You want to eat, you want to have a good life, you want to have...
There's nothing wrong with those aren't character defects.
And how do you get there without being selfish?
You do things with love. You know, you work, when you work, you... Who called me this morning? I was talking to my gal in Pittsburgh, my gal friend in Pittsburgh, she's a member. She was telling me about going to get, she just had surgery this month, and she wanted to go get a manicure because they had to take her pretty nails off for her to have the surgery. And she went to this gal last night who does her nails, and it's quite expensive. And the gal said, I don't want your money. This was not something you chose to do. This was something you had to do. So let me do this for you. Well, now I'm going to tell you that gal is going to have a great business. She's going to be incredibly successful because my friend in Pittsburgh knows a lot of people, and she sends them all to this gal because she does what she does with love. That's good business, I guess. Does that help? Is that a good answer? Is that the answer? That's what I do.
Yeah. Who else has a question?
I'll just say, you know, to expound on that, Jim, my husband and I both have had our own businesses for him the last 35 years and little self-employed businesses, and me for the last 23 years. We have never known from one day to the next if there was going to be a paycheck at the end of the week. But we just prayed about it and every day. And got up every day and said, I'll do what I can, you know, to build this business and to have, you know, to be the best person I can be. And somehow here we are, retired and ish. We still work some, you know, just because it's fun. And it amazes me that we pulled this off when I look back and think, you know, I see my brother who's not one of us, you know, worrying about being fired, worrying about being laid off, you know, over the years, and all those things. And I think, wow, you know, there is no job security except in faith you know, just living one day at a time. That's just my story.
Anyone else? If not, thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks.